Week 3 is in the books and the Lions are victorious again. Coming up on this edition of the Die Hard Dan podcast, Shawnee J and I break down the Lions' performance versus the Philadelphia Eagles. And we have another iPride profile on a Lion legend. Then we cover the illegal crackback block and now you know. All this and more coming up on this edition of the Die Hard Dan podcast. Here comes that roar. What up, though, and welcome to the Die Hard Den. This is Kurt Steele, and as always, I'm with my man, Shawnee J.
What's happening, people?
Hey, it's another Victory Tuesday here at the Die Hard Den podcast, coming off the big win in Philly. Now, I had to look back in my notes, and my score was the closest to the score prediction of the actual game. My prediction for the game score was 28-24, and the game was 27-24. But what a game in Philly, my man. We're going to get into it, but what'd you think about the game? Are you happy with the win?
Yes, I am. Now, a lot of people say, well, they barely won. Yeah, I admit the Lions didn't make anything easy, but they won then.
Yeah.
And they lost that game by the exact same score. Just the Lions fans, we bitch along with Michigan fans about Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
So let's give him the damn win. To quote Keyshawn Johnson, just give me the damn ball. Just give me the damn ball.
Yeah. I had to tell you, man, to some of my fans out there, I know I live in North Carolina. I'm retired military, and I was at the commissary, which is the military grocery store on the Army base here in North Carolina. And I slow walked right in front of this Philly fan yesterday with all my Lions gear on. I walked past him twice just so he can make sure that he saw me. So, all right. So now it's time to kick the show off. It is time to tell me something good. So my man, Shawnee J, I know this information is eating at you. So why don't you go ahead and tell me something good?
Tell me something good. My boy is back. He returned like from the dead like Lazarus. I'm talking about Jamal Agnew. Now, I loved him. He was my favorite players as a rookie. He was a Pro Bowl punt returner 2 years ago. I was expecting big things out of him by now. I thought it could be like a Deion Sanders type, good cover corner and kick returner and punt returner. Now, he got hurt last year, missed several games with a knee. He was struggling a little bit. He struggled in the preseason. Fumbled a punt at Arizona. He fumbled also against the Chargers, but luckily they got it back as a penalty. But after that, he was bent, replaced by Danny Amendola on return. Plus, he was still struggling coverage. I almost lost patience with Jamal, and so did a lot of Lions fans. They won him cut, and you thought he would be cut after his fumbles. He was fumbling the ball. He was struggling in coverage. So what good is he? He can't return the cover. What good is he? But I read that he probably read the same thing. Patricia and Stafford, the head coach and the franchise quarterback, they gave him a word of encouragement, and he took it to heart. He had a 100-yard kickoff return for Lions' first score in Philly Sunday. That was the Lions' first kickoff return for a touchdown since 2013, and it was the first kickoff return for a TD in the NFL this season. And I'm expecting him to be the NFC Special Teams Player of the Week, which comes out tomorrow. Jamal Agnew, or Lazarus, as I should call him now.
Hey, all right. Thank you, my man. Thank you, Jamal Agnew. A little footing up for that. For the NFL's 100th season, the first kick return of the year was a 100-yard kick return by our Jamal Agnew in Detroit. So, tell me something good, my man. This has to do with the big guys up front. I know these are your boys. Frank Ragnow is balling out. He's bossed up in Detroit. His move to center, he is the number 2 overall PFF center in the NFL and the number 1 run blocking center in the NFL. And as my man Shawnee J pointed out to me, after that blocked field goal, he actually made the tackle. Now, we know it was called back for the fact of the penalty, but Frank Ragnow hustled down the field and made the tackle on that special teams play. So big right. Shout out to Frank the Tank doing big things. Now he's at his natural position at center.
Right. He didn't know that a penalty was going to be called. And
right.
He showed hustle. Oh, yeah. Big Frank, over 300 pounds, 315. I think this is the program weight. He runs down the field 50 yards to catch a guy. That's how, you know, that shows hustle. That shows the desire to win. I love it. You know, I love the pick. You know, when we picked him last year, 2018, I was hoping
we would get another guy.
Mm-hmm.
We would get the big guy, you know, the guy who went to the Giants, Gonzalez or Hernandez.
Right.
From Texas Tech. Or anyway, they picked Frank. I wasn't too sure about him. But, hey, just like the Jelani Tavai pick this year, Frank Ragnar, he's balling. And once again, our guards and center have the highest PFF in the league. So our interior line is balling. And also the entire offensive line.
Yeah, our offensive line has been doing big things. Even Decker coming back. So we'll go ahead and move to the next segment and we'll talk about the offensive line during this segment. All right, now it's time to go on the ball. Let's look at the team's performance in the week 3 win in Philly. So Stafford kind of took a step back, had a little rough day. He only went 18 for 32. 201 yards and 1 touchdowns, but he didn't have any interceptions. So what do you think about my man Stafford's performance in Philly?
I don't think he had a setback. I think he played a smart game. He didn't have a fantasy football, you know, off the chart game, nothing like that, but he had a smart game. Like turnovers. And once again, I got to get process. You know, I love my offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lonnie Sacks, Philly got some, you know, Jim Schwartz, the former Lion coach, tried to blitz Stafford several times. Stafford plays to avoid, you know, a couple defenders, but that's okay. I mean, he's not a statue. There's no rule that says the quarterback just got to stand there and let the blitzing defenders sack. He can step walk away and offensive line still did their thing. And he played a smart game. Okay, it may not have gave a lot of people a lot of points in fantasy, but he's played a smart game. He wasn't sacked. And like I told you, I felt that, you know, they should have called Philly for some roughing calls because they hit him even after they got rid of the ball.
Yeah.
He should have got some roughing calls.
Yeah. So, yeah, good solid game from Matthew Stafford. He had good effort out there. Missed a couple of throws, but like you say, he did have a smart game. He did not allow himself to get sacked during the game. He did step up. He moved around in the pocket. Got rid of the ball when he needed to. To my next point, the offense had 0 turnovers, no fumbles, no interceptions. They took care of the ball. And for the second straight week, no sacks allowed by our offensive line.
I love that.
I love that. They're taking care of Stafford. They're keeping him clean. That's winning football. If you can keep your quarterback clean back there, throwing the ball. Now, your offensive line guy, what you think about your boys with the 0 sacks for the second straight week?
I love it. I love it. I didn't see their PFS, but it's got to be high. And the sergeants noted that the interior line, the center of our line, the center and the 2 guard have the highest PFF scores in the NFL. That's Ragnow, Graham Glasgow, and Joe Dahl. I love that. Now, I always get around in a group. You say we got the best offensive line in the NFL. Like, you know, you used to say the Dallas Cowboys or Patriots had. We're not too. That's not too far off from being reality now. I love the way you're playing. I want to keep it up. Like I said, I'm sure the line knows about that too. That stab. I know Stafford appreciate that. I know in the meetings, the team meetings for the offensive line, they said, "Look, guys, let's keep it going. Let's keep this. See if we keep this streak going." About not allowing any quarterback sacks. That's a source of pride, you know, that continues. You know, the Lions offensive line got to get recognition as being the best offensive line in the NFL, be better than the Cowboys or the Patriots or any line you can think of. So I love it, man. They doing all this for my boy. Big old bench washer.
Bo's on the roster, but if the line keeps continuing to play at the pace that they're playing, he's going to be sitting on that bench for a little bit. Now, one thing, Taylor Decker, people worried about him coming back. Actually, I think for the passing for this last week, he was at the top 3 or 4 for the PFF score for a pass protection with Matthew Stafford in the game on Sunday. So big shout out to Taylor Decker. I know people were worried about him coming back because Tyrell Crosby played so well in the game against LA, but Taylor Decker came back and he had a very good game in Philly.
Now, let me move on. On the first offensive series, you know, Lions, Stafford dropped back the pass. Mm-hmm. You notice a blitzing corner went right back, went by Decker, and looked mm-hmm. like he was about to get killed, but our boy Kerryon Johnson picked him up nicely.
Yes, so, I did see that. He peeled back. He peeled back and got that blitzing the corner.
Yes.
That was a very nice block. I did see that play. So shout outs to Kerryon for that. Now, speaking of Kerryon, he had a decent game, but the running game is still struggling. I believe that it's the system change and that the running game will pick up later on down the line. Kerryon had some nice runs. We only ran about 86 yards, but I think that if you look at the game plan and what we needed to do, I think what Patricia is doing, he's taking this on a game-to-game basis and what his game plan is for the offense. Now, I know he's not calling plays, but however, he has a game plan. And the matchup really favored the passing game and not the running game. They did run the ball, and they kept with the run. But however, the running game, as far as the matchup against the Eagles, where their strength is their front seven, even with the injuries they had, but you still had Fletcher Cox and Graham up front. So their strength is their line and their linebacking core. So their weakness, which is their secondary, was able to be exploited by Matthew Stafford. I understand that the running game is just a work in progress. What do you think?
Yeah. Kerryon, he had a nice, spectacular Walter Payton, like, over-the-top touchdown. That was sweet. Mm-hmm. Yes, he unlike the Chargers running back, he held him to the football in a week's overtime zone. But, you know, the running games, you know, just like when Barry would get stopped back in the day, you know, -5, -3, 1 yard, then boom, 80-yard touchdown run. You got to stay with it, be patient. And the running game, like the offensive line is playing well. Right now, they're concentrating on protecting the franchise. That's Stafford. That's what I want to see. I want to see him protect Stafford. I don't want to see Stafford take any hits. Or like Kerryon, he was about to get blasted by that Bristol corner. Kerryon, you know, he was there, made a nice block, saving block, and Stafford cleared the pass. I love seeing that. I'm sorry, but I get geeked. Yeah. But, you know, like I said, when they are giving the ball to three or four different running backs, it's hard for one guy to get into a groove. I mean, when you're trying to, you know, let three or four different guys carry the football during the course of the game, one guy getting, 20 or 30 carries a game. Mm-hmm. So it can be hard to establish yourself. But, hey, I don't care. Just like, remember, we had that streak of 5 years without a running back getting a 100-yard game. I don't care as long as we're winning. That's all I care about. 10 right. years, as long as we win some games and championships, I don't give a damn.
Okay, I got you. Marvin Jones had a big, big game. 6 catches, 101 yards, and a touchdown. Some very tough catches, and actually was the number 2 wide receiver in PFF with a score of 90, which was second throughout the league. Big game, Marv, doing the sniper crawl after the touchdown. What you got to say about my man, Marv?
Marvelous Marvin. You know this, after the game, I do this. I ask anybody, did Marvelous Marv help anybody in fantasy? And a lot of people are like, yeah, Marv, he won me some money or something like that. Mm-hmm. He had a wonderful game. He had a comeback game because people were questioning, would this be his last season? This is last year's contract. People thought it might be a cap casualty, you know, save some money. Mm-hmm. But he's balling. Yeah, I know he's going to be 30 years old next season, but he still got speed. He still can play. I love Marvin. Mm-hmm. More Marvelous Marvin, as I always call him. But if I can go to another guy real quick on offense, Danny Amendola. Now, when they signed Amendola in the offseason, I said, what is that old dude for? Mm-hmm. But he's up in age. This is what, his 13th season. He's 34 years old. But Danny got good hands. And he got some speed, too. Mm-hmm. He got speed. And so he fits in well with what Patricia and Daryl Bevel want to do. So Danny Amendola has been, he's shocked the hell out of me. He still got some gas. He has sure hands. He has good speed. So that's one of the keeps his offseason.
Yeah, he was mentioned on Good Morning Football this morning by Nate Burleson. He was a mention on the toe drag swag on that sideline toe tap catch that kept that drive alive. So big shout out to big Danny Amendola. All right, now get into the rookie. Hockenson has had a quiet 2 weeks. The last 2 weeks, I think teams are really looking at the first game and game planning around him, just like the Lions kind of took out Zach Ertz, where teams are kind of game planning against the rookie, but I think he'll break out of it soon. He's had a decent game blocking. He's doing the other things that good tight ends do because he's not catching the ball that much the last couple of weeks. But I think he's still progressing in the offense and his talent. He's still a rookie. But he's kind of quiet in the passing game. What do you think about that?
He had two opportunities for touchdowns. You know, one, he, you know, his toe – this is toenail touched the line, was out of bounds, you know. But we got to touchdown there anyway because it was a penalty against Philly. And also, he after his second opportunity to catch a touchdown, he had let the ball strip from him. So he had two opportunities to score. I still like TJ. He's doing a little things, help lines, doing like blocking, you know, for the running backs. He's giving some help to the offensive line, help on blitzes too. So, okay, yeah, I knew he would have a game like every game like he had opening day against Arizona, but I still like already he's still a better tight end than Eric Ebron and Brandon Pettigrew together, in my opinion. I think he's going to – just give him some more opportunities. Just wait. Let's judge him, you know, for the whole season. I think he's going to have a good game this Sunday against the Chiefs. That's my opinion.
Okay. Now, looking at that receiving core, now he hasn't had that good game in the last couple of weeks. However, Matthew Stafford and the offense has done an excellent job of spreading the ball around. The Lions are the only team in the league to have four players over 100 yards receiving. You have Marv with 200, Kenny G with 176, Mr. Amendola with 141, and the Hawk with 139. Now, that's pretty balanced in the receiving core. Matthew Stafford is making sure that he's spreading the ball around. Each player is getting involved in the offense in the passing game.
Yes.
And that's not to mention the other tight ends and the other backs getting passes in the passing game.
So, yes.
Big shout out to Darrell Bevell and Stafford for spreading that ball around.
And you notice the tight end, you know, the big tight end we signed from Buffalo. The
Logan Thomas had a nice catch on the sideline. Exactly. That was a really good catch.
Exactly. He's a former quarterback, you know, that was a nice catch. He's a big guy, 6'7", 250, the outlaw, Jesse James, had a nice catch. And don't forget the outlaw. He had a nice catch to close out the Chargers game last week. Yeah. So that's why we got nice. This is the Patriot way. I mean, the Patriots went before Aaron Hernandez lost his mind. Mm-hmm. They had a nice punch at tight end with him and of course Gronkowski. Mm-hmm. But this is the Patriot way of winning. They love you tight ends, you know, in the passing game and the blocking. You got to be able to block and catch if you're going to be a tight end, you know, and this system.
That's right. Right. And on that play with Logan Thomas, the defenders went with Hockenson and left Thomas on the sidelines alone. So that was a very good play for him to make that toe-tapping catch on the sideline. So one thing I didn't like is that the offense didn't take advantage on some of the scoring opportunities after turnovers. You only had 6 points, 2 field goals off of the 2 fumble recoveries from the defense. I would like a little bit more aggression. I like to see more points on the board. Now, I'm saying that they didn't. 27 wasn't enough because it was and they won the game. But I would like the Lions to be more aggressive on offense after turnovers.
Me too. I wasn't satisfied with getting 2 field goals. I wanted 2 touchdowns after those turnovers, damn it.
Yeah. But now, before we get on to the defense, I got to say my favorite play on offense was the big fullback Bowden with the hurdle over the defensive back. The big fella got up and made a spectacular play to get a first down.
That was nice. Now you see why they drafted him. You know, he came at from a knee surgery last year, which knocked him out of all of his rookie season. Mm-hmm. They like him because he's a big guy, about 250, still has good athletic ability, can block and catch him out of San Diego State offense. That's why they draft him. They want to use him as a weapon. A fullback is a dying breed, and if his free teams have pure freeback fullbacks anymore. But we do. He's good for blocking. He may even kill the ball occasionally on short yardage. So they like him a lot.
Yeah, he had a hat on doing his press availability, and the fullback from Atlanta sent him a hat that says, make fullbacks great again. And it's a good little joke, but hey, I like the fact that with that hurdle play, that really got me fired up during the game. So big shout out to the big fella, Nick Bowden, for making that spectacular hurdle play and getting that first down. So now we're wrapping up the offense. Now it's time to defend the den, check out the defense. So let's get into it. Defensive line had 3 sacks from Flowers, Big Snacks, and Christian Jones. What do you think about the defensive line, my man?
I love it. You know, the number one free agent in this year's class is, like I say, starting to warm up. I made that post in the group. I'm talking about Trey Flowers. He had 8 tackles. Well, like you said, he had a quarterback sack, and he forced that fumble downfield on the receiver, which Slay picked up return 20, 30 yards, which was nice. He's making, like I said, I call him the poor man's Reggie White. Yes, he's the best free agent available this year. He's getting off to a slow start the first 2 games. He didn't do too much, statistically, to make too many big plays. That's because he's coming off shadow, if at all, during the preseason. He's just getting warmed up. And not a moment too soon. You know, I love it. I want to keep him healthy and productive. I want him to see him to do the same things for the Lions as he did for New England. And Big Snacks, you know, maybe I'm greedy. Yeah, I'm greedy. I'll be honest, I'm greedy. Mm-hmm. 3 sacks. We got 3 sacks. Eagles got none. This point still, I think, and this was confirmed by part of Detroit, that the pass rush is too inconsistent. I'm greedy. I want to go back to the days of the old Silver Rush with the Bubba Bakers, William Gaze, and Dave Purifoy's. And I want a pass rush like old Minnesota Purple People Eaters, you know, with Alan Page and Jim Bush.
Well, you going back, ain't you?
Yes, old school. Or even the Vikings with John Randall and guys like that. But I want a Bubba Baker or even a Rob Horsey type pass rusher. And hopefully Trey Flowers can be that guy. Or even Arthur Flowers can be that guy for us.
Right. Now, he was credited with 6 quarterback pressures for the game. So I think Trey Flowers had a really decent game. I think we did a better job against the run collectively. They had it collectively over 100 yards rushing. But however, no one single back had over, I think, 55 yards. I think the most was Howard with 54. So I think it did a better job against the run. I like the fact that they caused 3 fumbles on Sunday and recovered 2 of them. What do you think about the turnovers, my man?
I love it. Like I said, you know, we got 3 sacks still, gave up none. We recovered 2 fumbles and gave up no turnovers ourselves. I love it. I love the ball hawking defense, aggression, going off the ball. I remember the 2000 Lions, you know, 2000, they had over 40 turnovers on defense that year. I love interceptions and fumble recoveries combined. I love it. I want the defense to continue going after the ball and offense to continue protecting the ball and Stafford. I want it both ways, as I do. And remember, we're down 2 defensive linemen. You know, Mike Daniels got hurt in that game. Dang it. And Deshaun Hand is still out. Hopefully Hand will be able to play against the Chiefs on Sunday.
I was going to bring that up later, but yeah. Mike Daniels should go out with that foot injury, and we'll see if he's able to come back. I doubt it. I think he'll be out for at least after the bye. Now, Jared Davis had a good return. He looked good. He's moving around pretty well back in the secondary. He did an excellent job of double-teaming Zach Ertz. He played well in coverage, and he had that forced fumble. So Davis looked good in his return, and they kept Tyvay mixed in. So they didn't just forget about Tyvay when Davis came back. They were on the field together for many plays. So Jared Davis, big shout out to the captain of the defense coming back and having a decent game. And I really think that penalty that he had on the sidelines against Darren Sproles was a bad call. Looked like a clean hit to me, but you know that they said Sproles, when he balled up for the hit, which caused the helmet-to-helmet contact, and with the defensive receiver, that caused the penalty. So it was on Davis to avoid that contact, not on Sproles.
But we got payback a little bit. Makeup call when he called Scrolls for pass interference. You know, I guess all evens out.
It all evens out in the wash. Justin Coleman had a really good game. Broke up 3 passes. Now, he did have a pass interference. He was good. Like, the wide receiver ran past him, and he reached out and grabbed him. I'd rather him get a P.I. than give up a touchdown. And that was the drive at the beginning of the game where Philly kicked the field goal. So he saved a touchdown, gave up three. So I give him a pass on that because he did play the excellent game for the rest of the game, breaking up three passes, which led the team. You already mentioned about my man Daniels going down. Hopefully, we'll get him back after the early bye. So, and we have Green Bay after the bye. So hopefully we can get him back. Also, Slay left with the hamstring. So hopefully we can get Slay back this week. If not, Mike Ford did a good job. So if you look at Mike Ford's play on the field after Slay left, he did a pretty good job. What do you think?
I love it. You know, you saw this. I just posted before the podcast began in our group that article from Pride Detroit that no one's covering receivers better than the Lions. Right. And that's not just Slay. Slay leads, but other guys do an excellent job too. And I keep going back to the article from Pride Detroit early this summer during, you know, about the Lions supposedly having one of the faster secondaries on the NFL. If, like I said, this is true, it's going to be also, you know, one of the speedier, faster secondaries with the guys we have back, you know, mismatch, you know, Slay and Mike Ford and bringing in Sean Melvin and Coleman. Right. And I mean, it's awesome, man. And like it is paying off, that speed secondary. And if Slay, for, you know, hamstring will not play against the Chiefs, like I said, Mike Ford, he can fill in. Like I said, use that speed. Let's use our speed. Right. Some of those receivers and, you know, we got depth, and even Jamal Agnew got great speed, right, you know, but he got to improve his cover skills. If he can improve his cover skills, he'll see more time on defense, too. So we got some talent in the secondary and speed. And, you know, you're saying speed kills.
All right. One last thing I want to talk about on defense, really. That was a terrible roughing the passer call on Trey Flowers. That was horrible.
Yes.
The guy, he got pushed into the quarterback, into his legs, locked into him, and he got called for roughing the passer. I cannot see how that was roughing the passer if you get blocked into the quarterback's legs. You can't stop your momentum if you're getting blocked. You got put into another player and got called for a penalty. That was a definitely egregious roughing the passer penalty. Hopefully he does not get fined for that because, you know, people don't. One of the things about the NFL, people don't know, a lot of times with the roughing the passer or personal fouls, you get that little letter in your locker for that check or that fine, but hopefully they're able to revocate that fine for him, because if you look at that play, he got pushed by the offensive lineman into Carson Wentz's legs.
And Stafford got hit several times after he released the ball, and don't give him one, you know, roughing a passing call. That's, these referees sometimes get me crazy. But we did. But Miles Killebrew got away with murder on the kickoff against Miles Sanders.
Yeah. So yeah, that was definitely what do you call that? Karma. That's some. They may have been why they threw that penalty, because Killebrew took that dude's head off. And even with the explanation of the guy turned into Killebrew and Killebrew had already launched to make the tackle, that was garbage. He tore that guy's head off, and that was just it, man. That was bad. Now, looking at the...
That was a...
Go ahead.
Dick Knight train lift.
Yeah, that was crazy. So... Running out the special teams, you know, we had the Agnew with the 100-yard kick return. Sam Martin did a pretty good job, averaged 45.2 yards for his 5 punts for the game. Prater, 3 for 3 for extra points, and he did have the field goal blocked. And we got to do better with that for the special teams, with keeping the individual block on that on the field goal. But other than that, they really had a really good showing. Big shout out to the Lions. I think it was a good team victory. Was it perfect? No, but like you said, I'll take it. A win is a win, and it's hard to win in the NFL.
On the road.
And they broke the curse of the blue pants. Well, since the blue pants had returned, they had not won in them. So they broke the curse of the return of the blue pants.
Yes, and since they brought this up during the telecast about that playoff game, that blowout 58-37, which still, you know, stings me to this day, it was nice getting a little payback still. And a third straight victory over Philly overall. Yeah. So every time we beat, it takes some sting away for that playoff victory or playoff loss years ago to them. I still, you know, pissed off over.
Yeah. All right. So now it is time to go to 2 points conversing. All right. This week we have a few topics. One of the funniest videos I've seen on social media is They had a fire in Philadelphia, and a former firefighter was helping the actual fireman save some kids from the fire. And this guy said the person was tossing the kids out of the building, and the individuals that were outside of the building were catching the babies, unlike Nelson Aguilar. And I was cracking up. If it is out there, it's viral, man. Now, he did have some drops. They credit the Eagles receivers with, depends on the source. Some say 5, some say 6, some say 7. But that was just hilarious. So my man out there in Philly, however, Aguilar, a class act, reached out on social media, on Twitter. Basically, he said, I appreciate the motivation to get better and to stop dropping the passes. And he invited the guy to the next Philadelphia home game. He said the tickets were on him.
Yes.
That's a class act right there, man, because the dude straight burned him on social media. Well, it wasn't a social media thing. He was getting interviewed on the news and said that. So, and then
you got to check that after the podcast.
You got to check it out, man. That's if you even Tori Petri featured it on her Tori's take for this week. That's her extra point, is that video. So if you want to see the video, go on DetroitLions.com and watch Tori's take, and you can see the video, or you can go on the Lions mobile app and view that video. It is hilarious. The next thing I want to really talk about, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, the Lions have the number one pass defense on open receiver percentage. That means that the receivers are getting covered more than any other secondary in the league. There isn't wide receivers just running around open in the field. The Lions are making sure these guys are covered. I think that they're number one with like 63% of the time that you have receivers are covered. They're not just running down the field wide open. So that's a good thing, my man. What do you say?
Once again, I keep going back to that article about how we're supposed to have one of the faster, if not the fastest, secondary in the NFL, and awesome the way that you got to get, that's true, it's paying off, and you got to give props out to Bob Quinn for making it happen. He may not make the big sexy names, and be, you know, but he made the right signings, like Rashawn Melvin, who made the nice pass break up in the game on 4-for-15, where that could have been a game-winning touchdown for the Eagles. He has, he's a journeyman, he's been about 7-for-15s, you know, over his career, but he has good speed. He has length, has 6'2", and long arms, and good coverage skills. He's exactly what the Lions need. Right. Now, that question, should the Lions go all in and trade for Jalen Ramsey from Jacksonville? The rumors are starting to, you know, circulate out right there.
To me, I think it's going to cost you. We talked about this last week. You really think about this, because it's not a rental, because of the fact that to make the deal worthwhile, you're going to have to pay the guy. You're going to have to pay the guy for next, because this is the last year of his contract. He's on his fifth year option. I don't understand why people will say, hey, well, I'll take him for 1 year. To make this deal worthwhile, Jalen Ramsey isn't the guy that you rent for half a season or whatever at the trade deadline. You're going to do a big deal with this guy. It wouldn't make sense because of the fact that it's going to cost the Lions too much of assets, right? They're going to have to spend a first round or second round draft pick. Probably two. They want two first rounders. So you want to talking about a first round or a first round and a second round, and then you're not guaranteed to have him for the future. To me, it's just a bad financial move to try to trade for this guy right now, and you not knowing what's going to happen in the future. Even though he's linked with the Lions, it's going to have to be something where the Lions have already worked out a deal for him to sign him for the future. It's going to have to be a sign and extend, sort of like what the Bears did for Khalil Mack last year when they traded for him.
Right.
So, you know, there's going to have to be a sign and an extend, a trade and extend, yeah.
If he has a similar impact like Khalil Mack is having with the Bears, will it be worth it? You know, will it put the Lions over the top?
Having him in the secondary is worth it, but I'm looking at the numbers. Now, not saying that you always could use a player like a Jalen Ramsey, and you can move players around on your defense to accommodate him coming in, but the Lions at the current time aren't really in a need of Jalen Ramsey. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's the way they're playing right now. But it would be a dream to have Jalen Ramsey on one side and Darius Slay on the other. That's two lockdown corners. Your secondary is just locked down. Think about last year with the Rams. You had Marcus Peters on one side and Tlaib on the other side. So it's definitely an advantage to have two lockdown corners in your secondary. And speaking of Slay, Slay is the top rated lockdown corner going back over the past 8 games, that's going back to last season, in the NFL. And that even includes the game he had against Keenan Allen. But people just see the catches that he made against Darius Slay, but Darius Slay made his plays against Keenan Allen. He had a few pass breakups, just like Keenan Allen had some of those good catches. Look at the interception to seal the game. The ball was going to Allen, and Darius Slay picked the ball off. So
exactly.
So Slay is my man. He's doing his thing. Big play all day. And we'll get into something else a little bit later when we go over the score prediction for the next game. But when we come back from the break, my man Shawnee J is going to have another umpire profile on a big time Lions player from the 90s. All right, we're back from break. So, Shawnee J, who you got for this week's Our Pride Profile?
This week's Pride Profile is about one of the best players in Lions history, one of the best receivers in Lions history and NFL history. Before there was Calvin Johnson, there was my man, Mr. Herman Moore. Herman Moore was born in Danville, Virginia in 1969. He went to all types of receiving records for the University of Virginia Cavaliers in his 4 years there. He was the Lions' number one draft pick in 1991, the 10th pick overall. Now, things got started off slowly for Herman, as he wasn't a star right away. He only caught 11 passes his rookie season, as he was behind other receivers like Robert Clark and Mel Fire Jr. Wayne, he had a problem catching the ball and dropping passes his rookie season. And Wayne Fonts, the coach at the time, jokingly said, maybe he needs glasses. Well, that wasn't too far off the truth, as Herman was fitted for contact lenses and he started catching the ball better, including a nice touchdown reception and the blow-off playoff victory over the Dallas Cowboys, the last playoff victory in Lions franchise history, but that's going to change this year, I'm sure. And also, after that, Herman Moore became one of the most reliable, spectacular wide receivers. He, you know, catches you see Calvin Johnson making them go, throw them down 20 years ago for the Lions, going for those 50-50 balls and coming down with making the spectacular one-handed catches. He was the best receiver in Lions history before Calvin came along. And on my fantasy team, all-time Lions team, I got Calvin and Herman Moore as my two starting wide receivers. Herman eventually became the Lions' all-time leading receiver before he left. But by 1998, He's turned 30 years old in his, you know, late in his career, he started getting injury bugs started to bite him a little bit. And he was getting older and he started dropping some passes. He was released by the Lions after suffering a hip injury in 2001. He actually finished career playing two games for the New York Giants in 2002. But after that, he called it a career. He always considered himself a Lion. I actually met Herman a couple of times around town. Very nice. Down to earth, one of the most down to earth superstars you would ever meet. And also, if you're familiar with our girl, Sheila McCain, who's in our group, Facebook fans of her, she ran to him at the Eagles game, you know, this past Sunday. He was there along with Benny Blee. So, Herman Moore is an all around good guy, and he should be in the Hall of Fame right now.
Mm-hmm.
My opinion.
Right. Herman Moore is one of the most underrated wide receivers in NFL history. I don't know what it is with the NFL and with the Hall of Fame and not wanting to put receivers in. You look how long it took Andre Reed or Chris Carter or those individuals. Hell, even T.O. took him on his third time. And this guy was like number two in the record books behind Jerry Rice most of his career. So Herman Moore, definitely he was part of that elite passing offense that we had in the 90s with that core receivers with Johnny Morton and Brett Perryman. Terman Moore is definitely a Lions legend. And thank you, my man, for another excellent Our Pride profile.
No problem, man. I love doing this. This is one of my favorite segments of the show. I love going back in Lions history, talk about former Lions players. You know, I love it. I got somebody I think you'll be interested in next week for next week's Pride profile.
Okay. As of that, we're done with the Our Pride profile. Now it's time for Now You Know.
What up, though? This is Kurt Steele, and welcome to this week's edition of Now You Know. This week, we're going to cover the crackback block. This play has been under scrutiny because the NFL referees have deemed it an important play, and they are enforcing some of the new rules that came into effect in 2017. So, as always, let's hop to it. We're going to read you the rule and break it down for you so you can better understand it better when you're watching the game on Sundays. So all crackback blocks are illegal. This is due to Article 6 of the NFL rulebook. It is a crackback block if the following conditions are fulfilled. The block occurs within an area 5 yards on either side of the line of scrimmage, including within close line play by an offensive player who is moving towards the position from which the ball was snapped. And one, the offensive player was in a set position in the line more than 2 yards outside of an offensive tackle, flex when the ball was snapped. Or two, the offensive player was in a backfield position when the ball was snapped and moved to a position more than 2 yards outside of an offensive tackle. Or three, the offensive player was in a backfield position and in motion when the ball was snapped. A lot of words there, so let's break that down. A crackback is when an offensive player is spread out wide and will run back towards the ball after snap in order to seal off a defender from the wide side and open up the field for a runner. Basically, that's all it is. A player starts on one side, the play is going one way, and the player is coming from the other side to make sure they block a defender from chasing the play down. In 2017, the NFL prohibited crackback blocks by a backfield player who is in motion, even if the player is not more than 2 yards outside either the left or right tackle at the snap. So a player can't be in motion and seal off a player or block a player from making a tackle. If he's going one way and the player is going the other, if he's in motion going the other way opposite of the play, he can't block a player. That's an illegal crackback. Now, note, if there is a broken play that significantly changes the original direction, the crackback block can be legal. However, when there is a change of direction play is the result of a design play such as a reverse, the restriction of a crackback remains in effect. So you can't say, oh, it was running a reverse and that's why the block happened. It's still an illegal crackback block. During the preseason, the Lions reserve offensive lineman Ode Adebuche made a block in the backfield that was deemed to be within that 5 yard limit barrier and that he changed direction and sealed off a defender and was flagged for a crackback block. Now, this play is under scrutiny because of the fact that clearly Ode was outside of that 5 yard area. He was in the backfield along with the defensive player. Ode was facing the line of scrimmage and he turned around to face away from the line of scrimmage and he made a block on a defensive player coming behind the quarterback and it was deemed an illegal crackback block. Clearly, this play is not reviewable because it would have been challenged. This was not an illegal crackback. It did not meet that criteria. He was outside of that 5 yard barrier. They say he changed direction because he was facing forward and then turned around a different area. Really doesn't meet that criteria. It wasn't going. He started one way as far as left or right. It was just a bad call by the officials. Ode really got screwed really by the letter of the law and not the intent of the law. So moving on, the following is prohibited against a player who is the recipient of a crackback block. Now, crackback blocks are illegal. However, these acts can result in an unsportsmanlike conduct as well. Contacting a player below the waist is the first one. Two, forcibly hitting the head or neck area with the helmet, face mask, forearm, or shoulder, even if the initial contact is lower than the player's neck. Three, lowering the head or making forcible contact with any part of the helmet against the part of the offensive player's body. Or four, illegally launching into him. It is illegal launch if a player leaves both feet prior to contact to spring forward and upward into an opponent and uses any part of his helmet to initiate forcible contact against an opponent's body. However, this does not apply the contact against a runner unless the runner is still considered to be a defensive player. And that's defined in Article 9 of the rule book. But we're not here covering that today. We're here covering the crackback block. With all that being said, players cannot use their helmet as a weapon, can't launch into a player. And furthermore, for crackback blocks that target defensive players by the head or neck area or below the waist has been illegal for a while. So when the offensive player is making a block more than 10 yards outside the left or right tackle, it's illegal on their crackback regardless. So, and what else you don't want to do is the change here is even now that players are within 2 yards of the left or the right tackle, they are not allowed to make crackback blocks that connect above the shoulders or below the waist of a defensive player. With all those other restrictions, that is can result in a 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct on top of the illegal crackback block. Note, a player who initiates contact against such an opponent is responsible for avoiding an illegal act. A standard of strict liability applies for any contact against an opponent, even if his body position is in motion, and irrespective of any acts by him, such as ducking his head or curling his body in anticipation of the contact. So even if you try to avoid the contact and it's made with a defensive player on a crackback block and it contacts that person illegally, it still can be deemed an unsportsmanlike conduct. Now, the penalty for a crackback block is a loss of 15 yards. So there you have it. There's your crackback block. Like my man Biggie Small said, if you don't know, now you know, baby, baby. Now let's get back to the Die Hard Den podcast with my man, Shawnee J.
All right, we're back from Now You Know. Now it's time for our game predictions for the upcoming game against the Kansas City Chiefs. So, when last week my score was very close, I predicted the score to be 28-24, and the final score was 27-24. I'm going to let you pick first this week, my man. What you got for the Lions versus the Chiefs?
Okay, obviously I'm going to pick the Lions, but I'm going to tell you why. You know, Patrick Mahomes has gotten off to a hot start this season, but I think it's time, and be a perfect time, for the dreaded Madden curse to start this week because he's on the cover. You see, you know, about history of the Madden curse. You see that Antonio Brown was on the Madden cover for 2019, and you see all the trouble he's going through. The curse. I don't want to see Mahomes get injured. No, I don't. I want to see him have a terrible game, the worst career game of his young career. I want to see him throw about 3 picks and lose 2 fumbles. I want to see, look very un-Patrick Mahomes-like. Like I said, the worst game of his career. I think this is a great, perfect time for the Madden curse to take effect. And I'm going with that. I'm going 35-21 Lions. Mahomes will throw three interceptions and fumble the ball twice.
Okay. Now, people probably don't like me this week because I'm actually going to pick the Chiefs to win this game. I'm not. That doesn't have anything to do with my love for the Lions. I'm just back to being practical. I'm always going to be a homer. I always love my Lions. I think the Lions lose in a shootout. Is going to be 31 Lions, Kansas City 35.
Okay.
So, all right. So,
you know, Matt Purse is the Lions face the hole.
Okay. All right. So, now it's time for us to go ahead and get on out of here. So, my man, Shawnee J, tell the people how they can find you on social media.
I'm on Facebook. Just look up for Sean Jennings. I'm also the administrator of the Detroit Lions Truest Fans Group, which Curtis is also part of. If you want to join, send me a message. You know, the best Lions group on Facebook. I keep the fans well-educated, and I always take everything Lions.
All right. Now, you can find me on social media, on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Curtis Steele 14, CurtisSteele 14. Or you can follow the podcast on Twitter at DieHardDenPodC1. You can also email the show. Ask any questions, DieHardDenPodcast@gmail.com. And I would like to thank those individuals last week for the poll questions. I didn't post any questions this week. I am still a student, so I was kind of bogged down with some homework this weekend, but we'll make sure you get some more polls out in the social media groups to give us some content for the show. And thank you, as always, for listening to our podcast. We enjoy bringing you this content, and we'll make sure that we keep the show evolving for you and your enjoyment or your listening pleasure. So for my man, Shawnee J, this is Curt Steele, and we are out.